You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The original agreement had one feature that the current government is actually opposed to now, which is the so-called investor state dispute settlement provision, which allows investors to sue the government if their profits are threatened or their business liability is threatened in international trade tribunals that are staffed by lawyers who also work for other companies and governments. These present grave concerns to people around the world and have been criticised by human rights experts in the United Nations and so on. We would like to see this being taken out of the agreement at this point, because during this upgrade, particularly given that the current government is opposed to these kinds of clauses being in agreements it signs.
The government is now moving towards upgrading the agreement, reducing compliance costs, increasing investment limits and adding environmental considerations. Do any of the problems, specifically the investiture one, is it still there from the old agreement, and are there any new issues that have arisen?
Well, the investment provisions, the ISDS, Investor State Dispute Settlement provisions, are still there, and that concerns us. They also talk about a number of other changes that we really can't understand completely until we see the text. So they've got ones on government procurement, for example, which historically been as a concern to us, because government procurement's a very important tool of the government to assist firms in developing their capacities to develop our local industry and to ensure good working conditions for people who work in them. They've got an e-commerce chapter, which is new, and again, while some of the description of it sounds okay, it's very hard to understand what more it does until we see the wording of it. They've got something on audiovisual services, which has been a very sensitive area in the past, has stopped us having rules favouring local content to build up our own local content of news and broadcasting, and various other areas that until we see the text, we can't really make a proper judgment of. So we're calling on the government to release the text of this so-called upgrade as a priority.
Focusing on this, the fact that the government hasn't actually released the official text of the changes as of yet, how crucial is it to see this full text? What might it detail, and why do you think it hasn't been released yet?
This is about, these international agreements are a bit like law, the international law, and as with any law, until you actually see the precise wording, you can't really understand what they will do and how they will interact with other pieces of law, both New Zealand law and other international agreements. And so to actually analyse what is the implication of them, you have to see the actual wording. There's been a very hotly debated issue. Negotiators have refused to release the text of what they're negotiating, saying it's all secret and would make it difficult for them to negotiate. However, that's breaking down. For example, a lot of the other international and non-trade agreements have quite an open policy towards releasing draft text. And the European Union has a policy of releasing text when it's tabled by negotiators at an agreement in many cases. So this is something that the time has come to be much more open about this. Just as in Parliament, we would expect people to see legislation before it becomes law. And if we are presented with China New Zealand FTA upgrade and expected to approve it without seeing the text, then it's a very poor process, and it just increases people's suspicion of these types of international agreement that was showed with 30,000 people marching in the streets against the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement.
FTAs seem to elicit a very strong negative response in New Zealand, especially after the TPPA. However, there is a sort of lack of public knowledge or awareness around the China Free Trade Agreement. What do you think that is?
I think the story that has been given about the China Free Trade Agreement has been that it's been a huge success. And to some extent it has been. It's certainly increased our trade with China hugely, although there's a question there whether that was due to the Free Trade Agreement or whether it was just the time that New Zealand opened its the timing of it. Because Australia's trade with China increased by just the same proportion at around 2008, even though it didn't have a free trade agreement with China. And for our by far our largest export to China, which is dairy products and particularly milk powder, actually the tariffs on that reduced very slowly after 2008. And so the rapid increase in imports of milk powder from New Zealand wasn't due to the tariff reduction. It was due to other things going on in China, such as the scandals that were happening there about toxic additives being put into the milk of the local producers. So we were the right people at the right time. And actually one of the things the government was negotiating for this time round was that China has been putting on additional tariffs, which it's entitled to do on milk powder, because the volume of milk powder that has been exported to China over this period has far exceeded expectations, and China has got worried that it's flooding their local market. And so they've put on additional tariffs, which actually take them back to where they were before the Free Trade Agreement was signed. That's going to phase out in 4 or 5 years. But in terms of the tariff reductions, it has been much more an effect of Chinese consumers wanting quality milk from overseas than so much about the tariff reductions in the Free Trade Agreement. I think the Free Trade Agreement has done something to improve trust in the relationship between New Zealand and China, so it's had those benefits. But I think it's time there was a critical look taken at just how much of it was due to the Free Trade Agreement and how much of it was that political relationship. It has always been reasonably warm between New Zealand and China.
The former National Trade Minister, Todd McClay, is in a recent statement over this free trade agreement, he seems to imply that the government has settled with China so that they may improve their sort of the opinion of them around their dealings with business, which is said to be their weak point. Do you think there's merit behind that?
I think that the government has seen free trade agreements such as the so-called CPTPP, which was the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement without the United States, with a few tweaks to it. I think it saw that as something it would show to the business community that they had something to give to business as well as to others. I don't know that the China one in particular is in that category, but it's part of that picture, I think.
They've reached agreements with the Chinese government. What's the next step for the text, for the agreement?
So the next step, they've said in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade has said in the releases, is that it will be gone over by legal experts to make sure it's all as intended, and then it goes to cabinet and for sign off it goes through to a parliamentary process, which is a bit of a farce really, because it's only given 15 working days for the public to scrutinise these things and make submissions, and the cabinet can overrule what the parliament says in any case unless there are changes to legislation required, and then it is ratified, which means it comes into effect. So we may not see the text until actually the government has signed it. In other words, there is effectively a fait accompli that is very unlikely that any changes can be made once the New Zealand public sees the text.
I think one of the most interesting things that's been added to this upgrade is the environmental considerations. Do you know what these are? It's not exactly detailed in their press releases.
And once again, the issue is, what do they mean? And you're quite right. And we can't really understand those until we see the text. The usual pattern of those environmental chapters is that each country says they won't use trade to, they won't use reductions in environmental standards to get a trade advantage. And the problem with them is that they rarely have any way of enforcing that. And so they are a kind of nice intentions without any significant effect on behaviour. Unless, of course, the countries wanted to do the thing anyway, but it's not the agreements as such that change that behaviour. And so it'll be interesting to see whether this is any different.
Is there anything else you'd like to say about the free trade agreement? Any other issues?
I think, yeah, one other thing is that a much bigger one at the moment is the so-called Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, which is abbreviated to RCEP, which includes China, the whole of the ASEAN bloc, which is the Southeast Asian countries, South Korea, and it was going to include India, but it's looking like India won't join it, plus New Zealand and Australia. They're close to signing a deal. And once again, we are told by IMFAP that the text is all completed. Once again, they should be releasing that text so we can see what's in it. And again, there's, you know, there may be a lot of areas of concern in there that we can't really fully understand until we see the text. But it is time that this becomes a regular thing, that the text gets released as soon as it is completed, so the public can judge what's going on.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.